I think this sends a bad message, and I think we should allow kids to work the hours that they're allowed now with the waiver system.
This will put Floridians in a very, very tough position.
Housing issues in general is really tough. And then when we talk about condos, it was taken to another level.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, Florida lawmakers rolled back some of the state's child labor protections last year. Now, Tristan Wood reports a proposal is advancing in Tallahassee that would strip them completely for those age 16 and older.
The rollback would allow 16 and 17-year-olds to work full-time, including late nights and days longer than 8 hours, even on school nights without required breaks. The proposal would also waive those same protections for 14 and 15-year-olds who are enrolled in homeschool, virtual education, or those who have already graduated and received a high school diploma. Tampa Republican Senator Jay Collins says it's about giving parents and their families choices.
I believe that parents are best suited to take care of their kids and manage their schedules and make sure that they're doing what's best for them. I don't understand why the state needs to go beyond the federal regulations in this case.
While the proposal passed its first committee, it's getting bipartisan opposition. Democrats pointed to this comment made last week by Governor Ron DeSantis during an immigration roundtable as what they believe is the real reason this bill is being put forward.
What's wrong with expecting, like, our young people to be working part-time now? I mean, like, that's how it used to be when I was growing up. Why do we say we need to import foreigners, even import them illegally, when, you know, teenagers used to work at these resorts? College students should be, all this stuff.
Orlando Democratic State Senator Carlos Guillermo Smith thinks the bill is coming up again to deal with the labor shortage in Florida. He worries kids will face pressure from their employers to work full time.
We're somehow going to solve the current labor shortage that we have in Florida that was worsened with anti-immigrant rhetoric with child labor. For the record, we know that minors already are eligible to work part time. They're already working these jobs, and that's okay with regulations. The problem is that we're getting rid of almost all of the regulations for so many of these minors.
Sarasota Republican Senator Joe Gruters also opposed the bill.
I think we need to let kids be kids. I think the guardrails that we're removing, even though it's maybe part of federal law, not in favor of it. I think it's last week we voted for that opt-out of minimum wage because minors couldn't get jobs and we were trying to give them more opportunities. I just think it sets I think this sends a bad message, and I think we should allow kids to work the hours that they're allowed now with the waiver system, and that's it.
About 100,000 minors are currently working at least part-time in Florida. I'm Tristan Wood.
Lawmakers in Tallahassee are considering a bill to study the impact of eliminating property taxes. The money paid by property owners is used to fund local governments, school districts, and police and fire departments. Recently on the Florida Roundup, WLRN's Tom Hudson spoke with Senator Chevron Jones, a Democrat from Miami-Dade County. Jones sits on two committees that will review the bill. It's one of several property tax-related measures on the table this year.
Do you support this idea to study the elimination of property taxes in Florida?
Listen, I support us studying anything that we can figure out how to bring relief to Floridians, but the elimination of property taxes in Florida is not one of them, because it will absolutely bring a true period of darkness to the Sunshine State. And while property taxes aren't perfect, they are truly the backbone of funding the essential services that many individuals take for granted.
You sit on two committees that this particular bill is destined for. I take it you're a no vote right now for this?
Yeah, I absolutely will be a no vote. I'm also expressing some concerns because, you know, when you listen to some of the policy experts who have spoken, the Florida Policy Institute, who have done extensive research in the effects of us eliminating property taxes, I would hope that my colleagues would be looking to vote no on this measure also, because I can only imagine sending something like this to the voters and knowing that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have done not such a good job in communicating the effects of what happens when they do things like this to people. I have no trust in this being sent out to the voters, because some of them won't understand that this will put Floridians in a very, very tough position.
Yeah, so in order to consider actually eliminating property taxes, that would take a constitutional amendment for Floridians to vote on, which would then require 60% support during an election.
That's right.
You mentioned the Florida Policy Institute. This group looked at proposals to eliminate property taxes and estimated back in February that if property taxes were eliminated, essentially, state sales taxes would have to double from 6% to 12% to make up for the lost tax revenue.
Right.
But would local governments actually be able to increase their own local sales taxes that much?
The answer would be no, because remember, the state legislature told cities and counties that before you raise taxes, you have to come before the legislature. So, yeah, you will put cities and counties into a conundrum. And listen, you know, the issue is the governor, you know, has made it clear that if property taxes were eliminated, the state sales tax would not have to increase and that he would veto the bill. If the governor has found a way to eliminate property taxes without raising sales taxes while simultaneously still providing the funds for our local governments to thrive, then he has my full support. I would be a yes vote all day. But the thing is, we know that that's just not how politics works. And the math isn't mathing right now.
Supporters of this review or this study will point out how much property taxes have increased in a dollar amount or even a percentage amount over the past decade or so. And we know Florida property values have skyrocketed, certainly since the pandemic. So that's a big contributor, I would suspect, to this increase in property taxes. How might lawmakers go after the increasingly financial burden of property taxes for Florida property owners?
I think the alternative solution we should be looking into is possibly tax relief for those individuals who are most affected by property taxes. But rolling out an entire elimination of property tax is not the way to go. And while the goal of reducing this financial burden on our homeowners is commendable and something I believe personally that we all want, eliminating property taxes could lead to underfunded essential services and increased tax burdens on lower-income residents, loss of local government autonomy, and various economic pitfalls. And so I think if we want to have a real true conversation, there are other avenues that we should be looking at and how Floridians can keep more money in their pocket.
That was WLRN's Tom Hudson speaking with Democratic State Senator Chevron Jones from Miami-Dade County. A bill that would restrict the types of flags that can be displayed at government buildings and schools continues to move in the Florida Senate. The Senate Community Affairs Committee approved the bill today. The legislation would prevent flags that represent a political viewpoint, including but not limited to a politically partisan racial, sexual orientation, and gender or political ideology viewpoint. The bill doesn't specifically name flags that would be barred from being displayed at public buildings and schools, but Senate sponsor Randy Fine says some of the flags that would be banned include those for Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ Pride, or those that are pro-Palestine.
The flags that fly in our classrooms and our government buildings and our schools should be unifying in nature to bring us together and not to tear us apart.
In opposing the bill, State Senator Chevron Jones said there are bigger issues facing the state.
People are really looking for how we can put food on their table, how we can make sure that their children and them are healthy, and they are done with the political culture wars that constantly infiltrate our building.
The legislation has one more Senate committee hearing before it can be considered by the full chamber. A similar bill in the House has yet to be heard in any committee. Finally tonight, More condo owners could soon be eligible for grants to help them harden their homes. Adrian Andrews reports the move comes as the legislature is looking for ways to ease the financial burden many condo owners are facing after lawmakers 3 years ago told condo associations they must keep reserve funds for costly repairs.
The bipartisan measure is backed by two South Florida lawmakers, Miami-Dade Republican Representative Vicky Lopez and Broward Democrat Christina Honchowski. Lopez says the goal is to increase home improvement grants offered by the state's condominium pilot program.
The bill aims to revise and enhance My Safe Florida Condominium Pilot Program to improve the hurricane resilience of eligible condominiums by providing financial assistance for mitigation projects.
The bill follows a law passed in 2022 in response to the Surfside condo collapse. Governor Ron DeSantis and the state legislature hope to keep condo associations more accountable. It required groups to make routine inspections and keep reserve funds for repairs. But residents say it has made staying in certain condos more expensive. The My Safe Florida program launched last year to help strengthen condo properties against hurricanes, but Honchowski says it could be used to help relieve some of the financial pressure condo owners are facing. She says using the funds to make improvements to their roofs, doors, and windows could lead to a decrease in property insurance rates.
We wanted to make a difference, and the My Safe Florida home program is working so well for single-family homes. We wanted to expand it to the condo community because they are also homeowners.
Grants will be for condos that are currently occupied and are at least three stories high, and 75% of the owners must agree with the repairs. Applicants must live within 15 miles of Florida's coast, and funds will be capped at $175,000 per association. The bill passed unanimously Tuesday with Miami Gardens Democratic Representative Felicia Robinson showing her support.
So the work that you've done to ensure that our people that live in condominiums can actually have some assistance, being that there's a lot that they now have to expense that they have to incur. Truly appreciate it.
The Senate version of the bill has two more stops before it can be taken up on the Senate floor. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Thanks also to Tom Hudson. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol, and that show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.